Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 11th of May. I'm your host, Paul White. It's a great honor to be with you as we are journeying through this great, wonderful book of Galatians. In my life, my family and I are heading towards the final days of school in the month of May here in Southern California. And as many of you know, we've made the announcement of our move, which will happen in about 2.5 months, the latter part of July. We will be moving across the country. So we're really trying to start rounding things up for the big move coming up in just a couple of months. So life is pretty hectic. I have come off the road for the rest of the month of May in order to get through graduation and advance ceremony for my daughter, and my family will be visiting at the end of the month. And so big month. However, we have a full month in June, a couple of California events, and also go to Canada. And so June, pretty full, and then we go out again in early July before we make the move. Check out our schedule, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule, and hopefully you can come and be with us at one of these events. And we are now booking for the fall, flying out of Atlanta or traveling out of Atlanta as our new base. And so if you are interested in having us in the fall of the year, late summer possibly, but definitely in the fall of the year, you can let us know, info@paulwhiteministries.com. Galatians chapter 5, verse 10, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Paul has a pastor's heart, I think, and he, even if it looks different than we think pastors should look today, Paul is not always as day-to-day hands-on as we seem to be in the church today, and I think they probably had a better idea than we do. Sometimes I think we're asking too much out of our pastors. We ask too much, we ask them to wear too many hats. Geography and travel made it impossible for Paul to be as hands-on. Communication made it as impossible for Paul to be as hands-on as we expect people to be today. I think the early church would have been shocked at the demands placed upon a pastor due to the fact that he is available technologically. I mean, you can get a hold of him through email and phone call and text. You can get in a car and drive down there and see him. Those things would have been, they would have stunned the early church. Not just the technology of it, but how much the people would grow to depend on the pastor almost as their day-to-day voice of the Spirit. I don't think it's very healthy. But yet you still see Paul, who has a pastor's heart, I think the best way you could have one, circa 1st century AD. He cares for his church. He's concerned about their spiritual development. He communicates with them when he can. He's better at writing than he is face-to-face, which is probably good because as an apostle, he's planting churches and church bodies all over the place. He speaks a little differently to his pastors than he does to his people. For example, read Timothy versus Galatians. He is often in defense of theology, a theology that he is unraveling and unwrapping and revealing almost by the day. He's navigating the tough waters of trying to establish some details for a faith that was predicated in its earliest days by people who literally saw Jesus, and Paul doesn't fit that mold, and so he navigates these difficult waters of dealing with the Peters and James and Johns of the world who have the physical Jesus in their sights. He's also handling his heritage, his Jewish heritage, and his own history. The fact that he has been a persecutor of Christians and there's blood on his hands, both figuratively and literally in some ways. And so I tip my cap with great respect to Paul, and the fact that Paul could look at his churches and see so many blatant and obvious problems. And if you need to know what I'm talking about, spend some time in Acts and spend some time in the epistles and you'll see. But the fact that he could then tip his cap I have confidence in you, verse 10, in the Lord that you will have no other mind. In other words, that you share the mind that I share. You will end up doing the right thing, even though I'm frustrated right now and I'm bothered by the direction you're going, and I'm confident in you people that you will get this right, that you will make the right decisions. And I think that is so noble. I think we should talk to people that way more often. I think people are smarter than we give them credit for in regards to how to govern themselves. I just think a lot of people need nudged a little bit towards responsibility. I mean, we live both in a society and in a church world. And by the church world, I am now talking about the grace community. We live in a society and a grace community that talks a lot about freedom and liberty and rights, and less and less and less about responsibility. And there's a hunger inside of people to be responsible and to produce and to build something. It's okay to be confident and believe in a group of people that they will do the right thing and that they will make the right decisions and that they will use their identity for good. The latter part of verse 10 should not trouble us. He who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Don't let that trouble you. For those of you who, and I believe properly, feel as if the judgment for who you were and the things you've done is in your past at a place called Calvary. Paul's mention here of judgment is against the way people are mistreating the Galatian church. Paul is not saying to them some deep theological point. He's making a very simple point. And that is this: everyone's responsible for their own self. Don't you worry about those who've been doing this to you. They are, whatever they bring upon themselves, they bring upon themselves. You don't have anything to do with that. And I say that to those who might argue against our message or are detractors of mine. Their judgment's on their own head. I'm not going to go after them. It's why I don't engage a whole lot in the arena of social media. And I don't really think it's a very appropriate place to learn much, personally, as far as if you come at it without an open mind. It's a great place to learn if you're at least willing to listen. That is not the case most of the time. But whatever judgment comes down upon them, we don't have to look at that as judgment from God. It could be the repercussions of their own actions. We all have them. Sure, 5,000 years ago, people may have looked at the judgment, the consequences of their own actions as being judgments of God. But if you run out here in the street and a car hits you, you're smart enough to know it's not God's judgment against you for something you did yesterday. You know that it's the repercussions of running into streets at the same time that cars come down the hill. You're not a superstitious person. You don't believe that God made the car go that fast and made you run out in the street and now sits back with his arms folded and says, "See what I told you?" You know better than that. So when Paul says, "He whoever troubles you bears his judgment, whoever he is," see it this way: whatever consequences come to them for what they do, that's theirs. That's not yours. So don't create your own set of consequences by leavening the lump. Now we're contextually dealing with that moment from Galatians 5. He has to bear what he bears. You have to bear what you bear. Let that be what it is. We'll go a step further tomorrow into the next verse. We'll see you then. God bless.